Starting in May, New York companies that monitor the electronic communications of their employees need to make their workforce aware of the fact that their snooping is happening. To discuss the implementation of this new law and surveillance more broadly in New York, we're checking in with Albert Foxconn, Executive Director of the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, a watchdog based in Manhattan, which supported the new workplace notification requirement. Welcome to the show, Albert.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I want to begin our conversation by discussing the current landscape that exists in terms of surveillance that employers are doing in New York. Can you highlight some examples that indicate the range of different possibilities that are out there?
Yeah, it's really been the Wild West. You know, we've seen employers using everything from technology that tracks every keystroke that we have on a work computer. It tracks all of our internet activity. But we also see, you know, software that increasingly is tracking us within our own home, especially with the COVID-19 pandemic, with so many people working remotely. We've seen that employer surveillance is often going remote as well. And that can mean everything from tracking cameras in an individual's bedroom to invasive biometric tracking that, you know, monitors a delivery driver, not just every turn they take in a vehicle, but every step they take to deliver a package.
And do we have any sense of how employers use the info they collect? Is it solely about maximizing efficiency, or can it be even more nefarious than that?
We get these sales pitches from the companies that somehow if you dehumanize your workforce and monitor everything they do, that you'll get better performance. But, you know, surveillance isn't a good management practice, and we don't actually have any independent data to show that this helps at all. And part of what I fear is that whenever you have this sort of surveillance, you have a huge amount of power being handed to those who are watching and being taken from those who are being watched. And, you know, as we've seen for so many decades, there's so much potential for harassment and abuse within the workplace. There's such a power imbalance there. And this sort of surveillance, particularly video surveillance in the home, is really ripe for that sort of abuse.
And in terms of how the data is actually reviewed, should we think of this as something where a person in human resources is, you know, reading every individual email, or is it a more complicated system where the aggregate of all the data that's collected is reviewed in some more broad analytical way?
Well, that's part of the problem with this sort of tracking is you have these companies that are rushing to collect all the data that they can, but they oftentimes don't know how they're actually going to use it. Oftentimes they don't have a plan for how you can then translate that massive repository of information into something that's useful from a management perspective. And so some companies are turning to new forms of artificial intelligence to try to summarize and automate that sort of tracking process. We see a lot of vendors that are offering productivity scores and other things that sound super futuristic and sound helpful when it comes to monitoring employees. But when we dig into how this technology tends to work in practice, it's usually a really crude measure of how much work someone is doing. It never really captures the totality of who they are as an employee. And even more disturbingly, a lot of these tools, a lot of these automated surveillance systems, they're baking in bias. They're using racist algorithms. They're using sexist algorithms that can discriminate against employees, can shut them out of promotion, can even lead to them being fired, not because of anything they did, but because of errors in how those algorithms are assessing their work. So I think this is part of why we need to really go a lot further in trying to outlaw these new forms of artificial intelligence.
The new law covering electronic communications could mean one thing, really, and one thing only if we were talking 25 years ago, and that would be email. But the definition could be so much more now. Does this mean employers can monitor essentially any digital correspondence from a work computer or connected device, just as long as they give the employee a heads up that it's happening?
Yeah, and that's really an important thing to keep in mind with all of this. We're talking about, a new law that's just going to put employees on notice. It's going to give them, a heads up that this sort of tracking is taking place. But it doesn't diminish the huge power that employers already have to track every sort of electronic communication we have on work devices, on work accounts. And that can mean not just tracking, email, like you said, but it can mean geolocation data. It can mean biometric information, such as our face print and our iris scan. It can mean health data. And, especially as we see a lot of people encouraged to use their work device as their only device, it can basically mean their entire digital life is now, available to their employer.
And is the importance of this law simply that by knowing that you're being monitored, by having that heads up, that you can avoid doing anything too personal with these communications? Or is there any other sort of benefit that I'm not thinking of?
My organization, STOP, has been clear that we view this law as a first step, but an important first step. And part of the reason is that we think we need to go much farther. We think we need to actually outlaw a lot of these sorts of tracking practices, but it's hard to ban what you can't see. And part of the difficulty in getting the momentum for the sorts of bans we need in New York State is that a lot of the employees who are subjected to these sorts of tracking systems just didn't know it. They didn't know that their lives were being, monitored in this way, that their privacy was being invaded, that their family was at times being tracked. And now we're going to have more people who recognize the scope to which this technology is, monitoring their lives. And really, I think we're going to see a lot more momentum to follow the lead of states like Illinois that have gone farther and started to just comprehensively outlaw some of these technologies.
The new law specifically applies to private employers. So what does that mean for public employees? Are they already receiving this type of notification, or can they be monitored without any warning?
With public employees, I don't know for every single agency the lay of the land. My understanding is it could vary depending on the specific locality, the specific state agency, but I'm not entirely sure. But, my position is clear that, whether you're talking about, public employees, whether you're talking about private employees, this is a threat to all employees, to all workers in the state of New York. And it's something that, really no one should have to hand over their digital life as the, price of admission to having a job.
You mentioned that you hope this new law is just a first step, and Cranes New York has reported that Assembly Member Linda Rosenthal, who sponsored this new law, is working on legislation in 2022 that would ban employers from requiring monitoring software on a worker's personal device, and would impose limitations on the monitoring of employer-owned devices. Is there any one measure moving forward that you think is really critical as we try to limit the surveillance of the workforce in New York?
Yeah, I commend Assemblywoman Rosenthal for her amazing leadership on this and for pushing those sorts of restrictions. I agree that we need those sorts of bans. I think we need to adopt the Biometric Information Privacy Act, replicating the sort of protections we've seen in Illinois against software that uses our own body as a tracking tool on our work devices, things like facial recognition. We also want to ban things like automated attention tracking tools. These are used to supposedly monitor who's paying attention on the job. But these tools are incredibly error-prone, and they discriminate against millions of Americans with disabilities, making their own body movements into a sign that they're not paying attention, when in fact they are. And, I really also hope that lawmakers go beyond the office to look at the ways that the state is actually funding and supporting these sorts of technologies in other contexts. We've seen a big push from lawyers within the state to have the New York abandon this sort of remote tracking as part of the New York bar exam. And we've also seen, you know, continued pushes against this sort of technology to track New Yorkers by the police. And what we need to do is really start to pass these long overdue privacy protections into law.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Albert Foxconn, Executive Director of the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project. Albert, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you again for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.